today on Real Radio.
Tell me about heaven. I will today. You and I are dying to get there. And a little play on words, right? We are dying. Paul says we are dying. Science says we are dying. People don't want to talk about it, but the truth is we're dying.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In the first 8 verses of chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes about how different our heavenly bodies are going to be from the ones that we have right now. In fact, he uses the word tent to describe our earthly bodies. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now, taking us through the section of 2 Corinthians. It's a lesson called Tell Me About Heaven.
Tell me about heaven. Can you write that down? Tell me about heaven. That's what Paul's going to be doing. He's going to be speaking to the Corinthian believers about heaven. We all need to hear this. Amen? We need to hear this. The world's gone mad, and it's going to go crazier. It's not coming undone. For those of us who are Christians, it's coming or falling right into place as believers. Remember that. As we give this message to you today, the United States is on the brink of war. Another war, mind you. This last week, the emperor of North Korea, 26-year-old Kim Jong-un, has declared war on South Korea, and we've been at war with Korea, North Korea, since the mid-1950s. I don't know if you know that or not. The war with North Korea has never ceased. It's paused. We've been at a place of truce for a period of time, and it seems to be restarting, and we've just delivered yet again to the arsenal that is now there in light of last week, one B-52, a special B-52, mind you, that has flown from Diego Garcia to South Korea, and it is ready to do whatever it's supposed to do. We have F-22 Raptors that are there, and we have two B-2 bombers that are specially equipped. What's going on? Lots going on. You can't enter that part of the world without having to consider China. And China is the one that holds the leash to North Korea. This is something that is very important. By the way, this is all leading up to our message, believe it or not. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're increasing our presence there. We have a treaty to defend Japan. We have a treaty to defend South Korea, Taiwan. We cannot let those nations be attacked. And so there's a great show of force and power. We don't know how it's going to go, but many will tell you, I have been told by military insiders that this has been a long time plan to come down in the Western Pacific regarding the United States. That as things heat up in the Middle East, as Iran begins to make further advancements, Syria as well, Hezbollah in the north, Hamas in the south, there's going to be at the same time, simultaneously, a movement against Israel while the United States is preoccupied with North Korea. That has been a plan. This is not something that our State Department or our military does not know about. What we do know now regarding what's happening in North Korea is that something is imminent in the Middle East. But listen, what about this thing about heaven? Paul's going to talk to us about heaven. As the world comes together, really, in prophetic news, we need to have our eyes on heaven like never before, church, and be ready. So tell me about heaven is Paul's message. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you got your Bibles there? Now look, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to start in verse 1 at the beginning and go all the way down to the end of verse 1 today. All the way down to verse 1 today. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Paul says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with, that is, human hands, eternal in the heavens." That's enough. This is huge. I found it amazingly interesting as a pastor talking to people, for many people, that as they grow older as they experience more of life and they've got more bumps, as it were, along the road, and they've even survived some of those bumps. I find it interesting that many of them, being non-believers, begin to change their mind as they get older about things. Or they begin to change their mind as they might become sicker. They begin to entertain thoughts of heaven and eternity and what might be real about Jesus and life after death. But everything that you and I know in this world, God is good to us. Everything that you and I experience has an expiration date on it, church. Have you noticed that? Everything. You buy something and it has an expiration date on it. That doesn't matter what it is. A lifetime guarantee. Don't you believe it? And science tells us this. Not only does the Bible say so, but science tells us this. Entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, teaches us that everything is going from a ordered state to a chaotic state, which is interesting, by the way. Are you only a scientist today without the knowledge of God? Listen, your very science that you must obey was written by my God. And my God says that everything that is material was created perfect and is wearing out. Isn't that interesting? Entropy declares everything was created or everything was established and it's wearing out. Light is slowing down. We thought it was once a constant. The sun is burning up. It's getting smaller. Everything happens this way. Your brand new car that you just bought, the nuts and bolts are already starting to fall apart. It's amazing, everything. And do I need to talk to you about our own bodies? We will talk about that today. Tell me about heaven, number one, point number one. And in verse number one, obviously, is this. I'm dying to get there. So are you. So don't look at me with pity. I'm dying to get there. You can put in your notes, tell me about heaven. I will today. You and I are dying to get there. And a little play on words, right? We are dying. Paul says we are dying. Science says we are dying. People don't want to talk about it, but the truth is we're dying. And you're not going to escape that. I mean, God has a plan for a generation that will escape it. I hope it's ours. But if that doesn't happen, if the Lord doesn't come for us, you and I will die. Look what Paul the Apostle says. He says, for we know, and by this we understand that you and I know what's coming. The Bible has told us, it's available for anybody to read, we know what's coming. When he says here, for we know, Christians, circle the word know. This is awesome. Please, please get this. And I want you to use this in sharing Jesus with others. The word know that Paul used here, of course the Holy Spirit authored the Bible through his mouth, the word means of a certainty. The word means something that you can hold on to. It's not going to move. It is as sure. The word means, listen, something given in the past tense, meaning that it is so sure. When he says we know something, he's saying we know this so sure. Christian, listen, we know what I'm talking about. He says regarding eternal life and our bodies being changed. We know it's so sure. Just as sure as we can examine something that's happened in the past. Forensics. That's awesome. The word means to be fully confident. Not just confident. To be fully confident. The word implies all doubt removed. So look what he says. For we have all of our doubts removed. This is absolutely confident. This is more than confident. We are completely sure about this very thing. And what is he talking about? Church, mark this down in your notes. How in the world, my question is to Paul. Paul, I'm a Christian in the 21st century. It's hard. Granted, I've not yet been brought to that place of being stoned with rocks or beaten or shipwrecked, sharing the gospel, rejected like you have been. But it's hard. How is it that you, not having the Bible complete like we have today, can be so sure? Church, I want you to get this. This is an encouragement. How can you be so sure, Paul? Here's the answer. Number one, Paul would say to us today, don't judge yourself in the 21st century against me in the first century in what God has called me to do. What am I saying? God called Paul to a special task. Are you with me? God has called you to an exact same magnitude of special task for you. Oh, but I want to raise the dead and do the things that Paul did. You may or may not do that. That's not your business to pick from. Here's what you are to do. Here's what I'm to do. I'm to be faithful to what God has called me to do. And that thing, listen, you don't need to look at the Apostle Paul or Billy Graham or anybody else. You need to look to you and to ask God what he wants you to be doing. And all of a sudden, that's hopeful. And it gets better. When you and I yield ourselves to the will of God for your life, for my life, me for me, you for you, God, what do you want me to do? This begins a journey, a faith walk that is absolutely awesome. God, speak to me. Lord, when I pick up the Bible and read it, tell me what you want me to do. Show me how you want me to live my life based upon what you've called me to do. When you pray like that and read your Bible like that, you are now expecting God to speak to you from his Bible into your personal, private life. Here's what happens. As you get up to obey him, and I know in our culture we hear the word obey and we go, well, you had me there for a while, Pastor, but the word obey, kind of, no, you don't understand. There is great joy, great liberty, great fun in the word obeying God. When you obey God, it just simply means this. God says, hey, go up there and turn left. Okay. I believe you. You know what's best. I'm going to go up there and turn left. When you do that, your life will be radically exciting for Jesus. No doubt about it. God's not boring. He's so amazing. He's so creative. I don't know what's going on. I have a little house, but we've got owls, big owls. We've got possum. Our dog attacked the possum. She's the same size as the possum. She attacked the possum fell over dead. And then 20 minutes later, he got up and he walked away. We watched it. It's amazing. And now we have ducks in our backyard mating. But they're so beautiful. How did God paint those ducks? And then the male, the green, it's fantastic. You think God's boring? He's amazing. See the sunset last night? That's spectacular. He's not boring. And your Christianity should not be boring. God is alive, and he wants you to be alive, and he's got a plan for your life. And when Paul says, we know this, we are so confident. Here's your confidence. When you yield to God and God begins to use you according to the plan he has for your life, guess what happens? You get to agree with Paul. Yep, I'm confident. You're confident in what God's doing, not what you are. You and I are nothing apart from God. Be confident because God is using you, and it's an exciting thing because you're walking with him. And Paul had that confidence. It's a great thing. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may, here's the word again, know beyond any shadow of a doubt with full confidence that you have eternal life. Did you hear that, everybody? You are to know, listen, visitor, non-Christian, religious person, you are to know beyond full confidence that you have eternal life. The word means to possess it. The Bible says you are to know now that you possess eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. That bold confidence, Romans chapter 8, verse 38 says, another confident statement, Paul says, for I am persuaded. The word implies I have been persuaded. Christian, the more you let God take the reins of your life, the more you will be able to say, I have been persuaded also. That neither death nor life. What does that mean? George Whitefield said, we Christians are invincible until the Lord takes us home. We're to believe that. Well, what if I go out and share Jesus and slip on a banana peel, fall and break my neck? Then God wanted you to go to heaven on the back of a banana peel. That doesn't keep you from sharing Christ. Well, what if we do this thing and obey him, watch what happens. And he goes on to say in Romans chapter 8 that even principalities and powers, the invisible rulers and players of the invisible angelic world cannot thwart what God has planned for your life. He says nothing can separate you from the love of God. The Bible says this. All that comes together for you and I to understand this, that you and I know what's coming. You and I are going to die someday. The question is, how are you going to live your life until you die? Some people wait around until they die. Some people sit around in life and wait till death comes to them. Think of it. Now, look, I'm not into bungee jumping. I think those people need their heads examined. That's insane. That you would jump off of a bridge trusting some guy down at the rubber factory having made that thing. But listen, I always want to yell at those guys, hey, you want to really live? Yeah, man. You want to rush? Yeah. Be a Christian. You know, why do people bungee jump? Because they need to be Christians. Be a real Christian. You wanna rush? Be a real Christian. Do what God tells you to do. And you'll experience confidence. Personally, this is one reporter's opinion. I'm so sold on what I just told you. It's the only thing I know in my life. The more I yield to God and allow Him to use me, and I pray that He would, the more confident I have that when that day comes for me, I just can't wait. It's almost like, Lord, when you take me home, I'm kind of excited because I'm going to sit in your lap and tell you about all the things that happened. I mean, He already knows, but you know how kids are. I'm going to tell Him anyway. This is what happened in Chino Hills. This is what happened in fill in the blank. It's exciting. The next thing is this, about dying to get there. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die, says the bumper sticker. And I'm not here today to say, you know, embrace this morbid message of death. No, I'm talking to you about embracing the great message of heaven, that we're going to heaven. And Paul is talking to the Corinthians about heaven. The next thing is, you know what's trending. Can you write that down, trending? He says that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. Stop right there. This is radical. I need everyone's attention. Look at your Bible. This is remarkable. Pull out your highlighter. This is amazing. When he says here that if, can you highlight, circle the word if? This will change your life. This word if will change your life. What's he saying? Well, he's announcing this earthly house. The word earthly house here means an earthbound or heaven, heavenless now. It's earthbound. It's not in heaven yet. It's an earthbound body. We get the word terrestrial, earthy, body. The word house means that which something dwells within. This is so simple but exciting. He is saying this earthly body is built for the terrestrial world. Man, we got to get this. My skin is for this environment. But inside the body, the word implies dwells something. Put this together. This body is used to function for this earth. To walk, do, in this world. It's completely worthless under the water. I mean, as long as I can hold my breath, or the tanks don't run out, I can do something. But I can't live there. Are you with me? I can't live at 30,000 feet. Same thing. I can't live in heaven with this body. It won't work there. This word implies that your body was designed by God to function on this plane and this plane only. But what's inside, the word implies that there's something that dwells inside of you that is of great value, and it is not bound to the earthiness of this skin. And I have to put it so simply, not because you can't get it, but because we need to be reminded that our world tells us to focus on only this fleeting, temporary, dusty part of who we are. Everything about our lives is so often rigged to arrogance and pride and position, and I want, and I've got to get. And you know what? If I don't attain to that thing, flesh, all of it is of this world. It's a wisdom that is of this world, the Bible says, that is devilish. Why? Because it jumps right over the key of what's inside of us. We begin to live for physical satisfaction only and not for spiritual development. Why? Because the only way that you and I can really, really invest in our retirement program is to invest in the spiritual part of who we are, and that's on the inside. For now, that treasure lives inside this body of skin. Are you with me? We dress it up, we take care of it, we perfume it and all this stuff, and yet it's on its way to death. Now please, we appreciate you taking care of your body, especially if we're sitting near you right now. But it's not going to last forever. Just understand that. It's not going to last forever as it is. And we know this, that when Paul here mentions the word if, for we know that if, this is a statement of meaning that some, not all, watch, someone, somewhere will escape this body being destroyed. Does that ring a bell to you? Paul is saying that if our earthly house, he's not saying it as a statement of fact, though it is, he's saying that it is almost certain, watch, that your body will be destroyed or turned to dust. You might counter and say, no, Jack, you're wrong. Cremation or death in the ocean or in the ground, doesn't matter, you will turn to dust. And Paul would say, yes, you're right, unless, or if, the only thing that's going to change that is the Lord coming back to interrupt. Calvary, church, Christians here, don't let anyone ever rob you of this. Paul the Apostle, numerous times, declared that he was waiting for the Lord to return in his own lifetime. 1 and 2 Thessalonians is full of it. He's the one who waited for the Lord to return. He said there will be those who will be resurrected, but we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. He lived for it, and so should you and I. So, well, what if it doesn't happen in my lifetime? So what? You lived for it as the Bible told you to live for it. And you'll be ready, and you'll be ready also to be used by God at any time. Amen. Beware. You and I are living in the generation that's propagating this right now. Beware of those, the Bible says, who in the last days will say, where's the promise of his return? I told you before, if somebody comes up and says, oh, you know, I don't think the Lord's going to come back for a long time, give him a big hug and have him sign your Bible. Tell him, hey, man, you just fulfilled Bible prophecy. It says right here that loonies are going to come in the last days saying, where's the promise of his coming? Wow, look at that. I'm meeting Bible prophecy standing right in front of me right here. You and I are to live for the Lord's return. But understand that this amazing thing is that we are en route. The only thing that's going to interrupt that path to heaven is an interruption by the Holy Spirit and the rapture of the church. I think about right now how we're on our way to heaven, but we could get there quicker. Imagine if there's a trumpet blast today. You look around the world at all the stuff that's happening, pretty exciting stuff. What does all that mean? Jesus simply said, when you see the end time event things happening, just look up.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Tell Me About Heaven, taken from the first 8 verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's one place where the Apostle Paul explains how our bodies in eternity will be different from the ones we have right now. Tell Me About Heaven, it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that you can catch Pastor Jack's TV program, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, on YouTube? Did you know that there are a number of advantages to this? For instance, if you subscribe to Pastor Jack's YouTube channel, you'll be notified every time a new video is uploaded. You can easily share them with a friend or post them on your social media site. The programs are all categorized, so it's real easy to navigate by subject matter. We've also made it real easy for you to find it at our own reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And at the bottom of the page there, just click on YouTube, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like it, here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.